Warner Brothers presents. A Lee Rich production. X-ray images of watches, luggage labels, and a gun. A Kevin Hooks film. Keys, sunglasses and a cassette tape, a comb and a bottle of cologne. Starring Wesley Snipes as John Cutter. The negative image of a passport photo. Next to it is written, British citizen, Rain, Charles. Passenger 57. The letters of the word passenger fall back into the passport photo. A close-up of Charles Rain's eyes. Bruce Payne as Charles Rain. Tom Sizemore as Sly Del Vecchio. Alex Thatcher as Marty Slayton. Bruce Greenwood as Stuart Ramsey. Elizabeth Hurley as Sabrina Ritchie. Robert Hooks as Dwight Henderson. And Ernie Lively as Chief Biggs. Casting by Shari Rhodes, co-producer Robert J. Anderson, music by Stanley Clark. Film editor Richard Nord, production designer James Hinkle, director of photography Mark Irwin, CSC. Executive producer Jonathan Scheinberg, story by Stuart Raffel and Dan Gordon, screenplay by David Lowry and Dan Gordon. Produced by Lee Rich, Dan Paulson and Dylan Sellers, directed by Kevin Hooks. A close-up of the iris in Charles Rain's eye dissolves into the image of an overhead light in a surgeon's theatre. Rain is reclining on a couch, head back, looking up into the light. He's a tall, fair-haired man, in his 30s, with piercing blue eyes. Nurses prepare equipment around him. Two surgeons enter.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be fine.
Mr. Rain, would you like one last look at your face before I proceed?
I never live in the past.
The anaesthetist tries to put the mask over his face.
No, thank you.
I have to give you something for the pain.
There will be no pain.
The surgeon nods at the anaesthetist.
Proceed.
The skyscrapers of a city waterfront. Police motorbikes escort two grey SWAT vans through the streets. The bikes turn off to the right, and one van pulls into a multi-story car park. In the operating theatre, the clock shows it's coming up to 12 noon. Rain stares at the surgeon.
Scalpel?
The SWAT team pull up alongside a brown car containing two FBI agents. As the armed men pile out the back of the van, one agent, a dark-haired man in his 30s, comes over.
All right, you know the drill. Be very, very careful. This is Charles Rain we're dealing with.
Where is he?
Plastic surgery, third floor. He keeps changing his face. If we blow this, we won't get another chance.
Move out!
The surgeon is about to cut into Rain's face when Rain grabs his arm.
What time is it, Doctor?
What?
I want you to tell me what time it is.
The surgeon looks round. It's 12 noon exactly.
12 o'clock.
Rain grabs the scalpel and slits the surgeon's neck. Then he runs out. The SWAT team barge in.
Get me that car!
Rain runs through the hospital corridors, but another SWAT team emerges from the lift. Rain gets away. Rain runs up to a window and jumps through. He plunges down onto the umbrella over a cafe table. He runs across the cafe terrace. Rain pushes people out of his way and runs out into the road. He flees from the police car, but the cops give chase. One police car mounts the curb and pursues him along the pavement. An armed cop chases after him. Suddenly, a police car appears from a side street, and Rain crashes into it, somersaulting over the bonnet. A truck full of water cooler bottles skids to a halt, shedding its cargo. Rain is surrounded by men. The FBI agent runs up.
Freeze! Don't move!
Hold him up there, Harley!
Don't move! Don't move!
Charles Rain, FBI, you're under arrest.
Rain is cuffed and put into the back of a police car. An attractive black stewardess with wavy hair, Marty, walks down the aisle of a plane. Among her passengers is John Cutter, a tall black man with close-cropped hair, wearing a black jacket and red sweater. He smiles as Marty attends to another man.
Enjoy the flight.
Cutter reaches inside his jacket, walks to the curtain separating compartments, and draws out a gun. Marty is serving drinks. Cutter grabs Marty.
Listen up! Shut up! Sit!
Look, do as I say, nobody gets hurt. You have the keys to the flight deck?
Yes.
All right, we're gonna move there nice and slow. Don't make me use this. Nice and slow. There you go. Real nice. Real nice.
Marty kicks Cutter, and a passenger grabs his arm. The cabin is just a set, and the scene is being filmed on camera.
Turn it off! Turn it off!
A tall, dark-haired man, Sly, comes on set. Cutter turns to Marty.
May I ask you what you think you were doing?
I was improvising on your security techniques.
That's cute. That's real cute, miss.
Slayton. But my friends call me Marty.
Well, see, if this had been a real gun, that little Angie Dickinson bullshit you just pulled, you would have got your head blown off. And you would endanger the lives of all the other passengers.
I was trying to save lives.
The next time a man holds a gun to your head on a crowded plane, you follow instructions. You do exactly what he tells you to do. Do you understand?
This is why I gave up my afternoon, so some former security specialist can tell me how to obey a hijacker.
Let me tell you something. First of all, I'm not a former anything. Second of all, I like what I do. I get the chance to meet people like you.
Well, I know we got a lot of information to think about, so class dismissed, and we'll hijack you again next week.
Marty walks away.
What the hell are you doing here?
I'm doing fine, Cutter. How you doing? What's wrong with your foot?
Look, Sly, I appreciate you throwing some business my way, but that gives you no right to interfere with my class.
Cutter, will you look around? This is an airline training facility, okay? This is not the Secret Service. Just calm down.
Oh, now you're telling me my job too, huh? Look, what she did was wrong, period.
Maybe, but there was a time you'd let her know that without blowing your cool. No, it just dawned on me. She kind of reminds me of Lisa.
She looks nothing like Lisa.
I didn't say she looked like her. I said she reminded me of her. We gotta talk.
I'm not interested in coming back.
Well, did I ask you to?
No, but you were about to.
That's right, because you can't tell me to teach security techniques to bodyguards, night watchmen, and flight attendants, something you want to do with the rest of your life.
It's a job, Sly. I like it.
Look, Ramsey wants me to hire the best person available to head up the counterterrorism unit. That person happens to be you.
Well, I don't want that responsibility.
Yeah? Well, I don't want to be so good-looking, but I got to deal with the hand that's dealt me, right? Look, we both know nobody can do the job better than you can.
Damn, I knew you were going to start this shit again. Look, give me my check.
You want me to stop?
Yes.
Just say yes. That's all you got to say. I'll take the job. I'll stop.
Damn it, Sly. Give it a rest, all right?
No, you give it a rest, John. This isn't about a job, man. It's about you, okay? Nobody knows better than I do how much Lisa meant to you. But you got to stop blaming yourself. You got to get off the sidelines. You got to get back into this game. I set up a lunch tomorrow with Ramsey at 12 o'clock at the Oxford. I hope you'll be there. I really do.
Sly walks away. Rain is taken to a prison. The inmates watch as the cell block gate is opened, and Rain is led along the line of cells.
Hey, chula.
Hey, baby.
Hey, pretty boy.
Hey, man.
Oh, look. You're a pretty-ass white girl. What's her name?
The warders take Rain over to a cell. He stares through the grill on the door. The guards undo Rain's cuffs and show him inside. A man is sitting in the cell waiting. He's middle-aged and wears a suit.
Attorney Phillips. Have you found out where they intend to take me?
Los Angeles. But they won't say when.
It'll happen quickly. Notify my people. They'll know what to do.
California has a death penalty.
It's a progressive state. I'll have to visit it sometime.
The feds have a witness that can prove you're responsible for 2 airline bombings in the past year.
I'm responsible for twice that amount.
I'm afraid the most we can hope for is that I claim insanity for you. Given your childhood history, we should be able to make that stick.
Rain smashes Philip's head on the table.
Never mention my childhood. Have I made myself clear?
Yeah.
It is the nature of man to confuse genius with insanity.
Rain clutches Philip's hair.
Now, repeat after me. Charles Rain is not insane.
Charles Rain is not insane. Charles Rain is not insane.
Continue.
Charles Rain is not insane.
Cutter kneels in front of a small shrine, meditating. He's bare-chested and his hands are swathed in bandages. Flashback to him and Lisa in a grocery store.
Here, put some of this on the fire. Alright? Yes.
Lisa walks to the till. A man comes into the store, holding something in his jacket. He looks round and draws a gun.
Merry Christmas! Open the register! Give it to me now! Shut up! Give it to me now! Open the register now! Freeze! Drop it!
The robber grabs Lisa.
Get back! I'll blow this bitch head off right now! Get back! Get back! Put the gun down! Put the gun down!
Alright. I'm putting the gun down. You just stay cool, alright?
In the present, Cutter thumps a punch bag.
You're gonna be all right, baby. I'm not gonna try to stop you, man.
You shouldn't have tried to stop me the first time.
The man runs out the store. Cutter shoots through the window. Cutter runs to Lisa.
Oh, my God. Lisa! Lisa! Oh, baby. It's gonna be all right. It's all right. It's not too bad. It's not too bad, baby. All right? What have I done? No. Lisa.
Back in the present, Cutter looks out at the pouring rain. He leans on the window and rests his head on his arms. Next day, Cutter drives his red open-top sports car along the highway. He drives past some deluxe houses on the waterfront. He pulls into the drive of a large modern restaurant. A valet opens Cutter's car door and drives the vehicle away. Cutter is wearing dark sunglasses and he's dressed in a grey suit and blue tie. He goes up the steps into the entrance, looks around, and crosses to a table where Sly is sitting with Ramsay, a tall, smartly dressed man with slicked back dark hair.
He is. John Cutter, Stuart Ramsay.
Pleasure.
Nice to meet you, John. Mr. Delvecchio said you might not be coming.
Yeah, well, Mr. Delvecchio was wrong.
Well, let's have a seat.
Mr. Ramsay, do you know how many airlines have been hijacked in the last 3 years?
No.
27. Almost every commercial airline in the world has had to cope with terrorism. All except one. The Israelis have never been fucked with. They never let them on the plane.
You have any thoughts on this?
Unequivocally, without a doubt, John is the best guy I ever worked with.
Well, the annual meeting of our stockholders is next week in Los Angeles. I'd like to fly out there a couple days early, have a brief vacation before I introduce you as our new vice president. That is, assuming you still want the job.
I'll drink to that.
They raise their glasses. At an airport, a jumbo jet waits on the tarmac, in the terminal.
So look, when you meet this board of directors, you should think of something really, you know, impressive to say, start things off.
Yeah, maybe I ask them to fire you.
Actually,
This isn't a good time to start with new plans. Just be yourself, dignified and charming.
Sorry, sir, you'll have to go back through. Are you carrying any metal objects?
Yeah. You ever notice how the real suspicious ones never seem to have any trouble?
That's right. That's how they get on the plane. Oh, man.
Sorry. I'm gonna have to check you myself.
It's all that metal plate in his head. It's an old war wound.
Cutter smiles as the woman frisks his trousers.
You can go through with your friend now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
John.
What?
Real quick. How do you do that? I mean, before you get on the plane, how do you do that?
It's a black thing. You wouldn't understand.
A black thing? I understand black things. You know, that's what I admire about you, Cutter. Even though you are being hit on by an absolutely beautiful woman, you are determined to maintain your vow of chastity. You know, you'd make a hell of a Republican.
You know, it is not necessary for you to walk me all the way to the plane.
That's the least I can do. You know, we're brothers.
Have a nice flight.
Cutter, I have no idea why I am so nice to you.
Look, you got me here. You satisfied? Now go. Oh, come on, man. Don't give me that sad-ass puppy dog look.
I'm not giving you that one. I'm giving you the grateful, deeply moved, Italian-American, religiously inspired look, okay? There's a difference.
Why?
Because even though you'll never admit it, we both know you made the right decision.
Yo, I'm only taking this job so I can make your life miserable, man.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's right. Well, at least this way I can get back at you, huh? Oh, speaking of which, have I got a surprise for you?
No surprises. What is it?
Lips are sealed.
Yo, your lips can be busted, man. What's the surprise?
Oh, yeah? Well, listen to this. When you get to Los Angeles, I want you to call me, because I'm going to want to hear all about this one.
Hey, Sly, dude, you listening to me?
Have a pleasant trip.
Sly, you don't understand.
Sly walks away. Cutter's at check-in.
You have a nice flight, Mr. Cutter.
Thank you.
Any flight, press the telephone.
A red jumbo jet belonging to Atlantic International. Shots of the plane, its wings, engines, and the bolts holding it together. Rain is in the back seat of a police car pulling up beside the plane. When he gets out, he spots a short, balding man, Vincent, getting out of a truck. Vincent is wearing a steward's uniform. Rain is led by two agents up the steps into the plane. Inside the passenger cabin, Cutter, wearing a blue shirt and jeans, walks past the stewardess. He looks for his seat. The agents come on board, passing a young stewardess with long dark hair, Sabrina.
FBI, thank you.
The two agents escort Rain aboard. Marty is among the stewardesses. Marty clocks Rain, then moves on. The agents lead the cuffed Rain to a seat and take their places either side of him. A young man with slicked back hair hands his boarding pass to Sabrina.
Mr. Fouquet?
Forger. It's French.
Oh, Monsieur Forger. You'll be in seat 5C. That's the aisle seat.
Thank you. Forger walks down the aisle past a little blonde boy sitting with his mother, a brunette in her 30s. The boy watches Forger take the seat behind Rain.
Norman, it is not polite to stare.
Norman nods, but continues to watch Forger. Forger smiles at him. Outside, Vincent wheels a meal container out of the back of the truck into the plane. Behind him, a man is lying on the floor of the truck. Inside, Sabrina takes a passenger's jacket.
May I take your coat, sir? Thank you.
She walks into the crew area. Marty's there.
Any truth to the rumour that the men in Los Angeles actually talk without cue cards?
They talk a lot. Whether or not they say anything is another matter. I take it this is your first trip to Los Angeles?
It is, yeah. I'm Sabrina Ritchie, by the way. How do you do?
Marty Slayton. Sabrina, what a beautiful name.
It's a thing most wondrous to be flattered by one of your peers.
Ooh, and I love the accent, too.
Between you and me, I've been trying to lose it for years. Makes me sound cold and heartless.
Actually, now that you mention it.
Always trust your first impression.
I have a feeling this is going to be a very interesting flight.
I certainly hope so. Hey, you taking the head count yet?
Ah, my fingers are beginning to point as we speak.
Champagne, madam?
1, 2, 3...
Norman points his finger like a pistol at Rain. Rain mimes being shot. His head falls forward. But then he looks up sideways at Norman. He raises both hands so Norman can see the handcuffs and mimes shooting the boy. Rain blows the tops of his fingers as if blowing smoke from a gun. Norman's mother looks appalled.
Behave yourself. You won't get any toys in prison.
I never had any toys. My father believed they would warp my sense of values.
Is your father still alive?
Rain glares at him.
Died. Violently.
Marty continues her head count.
2, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57.
She recognizes Cutter, then continues on her way.
58, 59, 60, 61.
Cutter is reading The Art of War. The plane pulls away from the terminal. Sabrina goes up to Rain and the agent next to him.
Can I get you gentlemen anything?
Nothing right now, thanks.
She walks away.
Well, looks like I just found my next ex-wife.
Rain smiles coldly. The plane taxis out onto the runway.
Please make sure that all carry-on items are safely secured beneath your seats or properly stored in an overhead compartment.
She sees Cutter.
I'm Marty, and if there's anything I can do to make your trip to Los Angeles much more comfortable, please feel free to ask for my assistance.
Cutter presses the button for a stewardess.
Who needs assistance this early?
It's John Cutter. He's a security specialist for the airlines.
Security? I feel safe already.
Marty walks down the aisle and past Cutter's seat. The plane turns into the runway and the pilots accelerate into takeoff. The plane is now airborne and soars into the sky. Cutter watches through his window as the buildings fall away. Then he lets his head fall back and he closes his eyes. The plane is now flying over water. It banks steeply to the right, flying through the last rays of the sun that glitter on the sea. Sabrina hands out menus.
Menu, sir? Monsieur? Menu, sir?
Pardon me, stewardess?
Yes?
It's Norman's mother.
Is that man with the handcuffs dangerous? There's nothing to worry about, madam. Right now, he's as safe as this handsome little boy. What's your name, huh?
Norman. If he tries to do something bad, I'll shoot him.
Oh, what if he shoots back?
I also have a secret decoder ring that protects you from bullets and spiders. But I left it at home.
Hey, don't worry. I've got mine, and I'll save all of us. Hey, you give me a smile, I might get you a soda. If that's all right with your mom.
Sure.
Orange?
Hey, got it. Thank you.
Cutter goes into the crew area, where Marty is putting on an apron.
Excuse me, stewardess. I've had that light on for a while now.
Flight attendant. If you go back to your seat, I'll bring you your peanuts.
Well, actually, all I want is an aspirin.
Here we go.
She gives him a small white packet.
Hey, look. Maybe I was a little hard on you in class the other day. That was for your own good.
Just the way you apologize?
Boy, this is gonna be a long flight.
You got that right. Excuse me. Excuse me.
She sorts out the drinks trolley.
Well, then maybe you can just do me a favor.
Oh, this ought to be good.
I mean, I'm not all that comfortable on planes, you know?
There's some extra pillows in your overhead compartment.
Just that whenever anything moves faster than I can walk, then I just assume be behind the wheel.
Now, who would have guessed that you're a control freak?
You're not gonna make this easy, are you?
What is it that I can do to make your travel more pleasurable, Mr. Cutter?
I just want you to check on me from time to time. That's it.
You take your seat, and I'll see what I can do.
She wheels the drinks trolley away. Sabrina goes up to the agent sitting beside Rain.
Champagne with your dinners, gentlemen.
Not on duty, but I'll have some tomato juice if you have it, and I'll have the chicken.
How appropriate. I'll have the steak. Keep the champagne on ice. We'll celebrate later.
The agent clocks Sabrina's figure as she walks away. Marty brings an elderly lady over to the seat next to Cutter.
Sir, this is Mrs. Edwards. She's a frequent air traveler. When I told her all about you, she volunteered to help make you feel more comfortable.
It's a real honor to meet you. I take this flight at least once a month. I have grandchildren in Van Nuys. That's just outside Los Angeles. Well, maybe not just outside, but hell, Los Angeles is so spread out. Who's to know where it begins and ends and what's inside and outside? Don't you agree? Wait till I tell everyone that I sat next to you on the plane. I watch your show all the time.
My show?
Never miss it. Woo, woo, woo. And I just love it when you do those jokes about things that make you go, hmm.
Sabrina picks up the intercom phone. Vincent answers.
Robert.
I need a special service of first class in 5 minutes.
I'll send it right up.
Vincent is in the lower galley. He opens a meal dispenser and takes out a metal case. He puts the case in a locker. Back in the cabin, Cutter looks exasperated with Mrs. Edwards.
I just loved it when you told off that Madonna. Who is she to tell you how to wear your hair?
Excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. I'll probably be in there a long time.
Oh, I'm that way too.
Cutter goes into the toilet. Rain looks round at the FBI agent next to him.
Do you know the time?
Why? You got someplace you gotta go?
Rain smiles ruefully. Sabrina moves her trolley up towards him.
How do you like your sirloin, sir?
Bloody.
Sabrina whips out a gun and shoots the two agents dead. Sabrina gives Forget a gun. Rain releases himself and moves to the cockpit. One passenger grapples with Forget and is smashed back on the floor. Sabrina forces a woman back to her chair at gunpoint, then holds her gun on the first-class cabin. In the cockpit...
Who's in charge?
I am.
Once again, who's in charge?
You are.
Excellent.
Sit your ass down! Sit down! Sit down!
The hell is that?
Cutter is still in the toilet. In the cabin...
Shut up or be killed! Your choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid your in-flight entertainment program has been cancelled. The weapons being carried by my staff are real, so is their desire to use them if provoked. I'm prepared to do whatever is necessary in order to achieve my goal. If you do as instructed, you will not be harmed. If you disobey or interfere with their activities, you will be shot.
Cutter locks the toilet door.
Oh, man.
Forget takes Rain's place in the cockpit. Cutter opens the toilet door and peeks out. A young man with curly brown hair is guarding the passengers. Cutter sees the onboard phone, closes the door again, and pulls a card from his wallet.
All right. Oh, man, this was your idea of a surprise, but ha-ha, motherfucker. Very funny, Sly, you better beat him.
Cutter opens the door again. The hijacker has his back to the toilet. Cutter leaps over unseen to the phone. He sticks his phone card in the slot and ducks back when the hijacker looks round. The toilet door is swinging on its hinges. The hijacker turns and moves away. Cutter grabs the phone receiver and hurries back inside the toilet.
No. Can't be happening, not now.
He hurriedly dials a number.
Oh, man, first this arsenial shit in this.
He peeks out and watches the hijacker. But when Cutter closes the door, the man looks round.
Come on. Hello, look, I got an emergency. My name is John Cutter.
The hijacker walks towards the toilet.
Yes, I need Sly DeVecchio. I don't know how to spell his name. D-E-L... Vecchio.
Gary's compiling those numbers, he's gonna get you consolidated...
DeVecchio, there's a call for you on 24.
Excuse me.
At the airline center...
Who is it?
John Cutter.
Oh, great.
Cutter sees the hijacker approaching.
Oh, shit. Cutter, you there?
Cutter!
You! Back to your seat, now!
Oh, please, I don't want to die! Please don't shoot me! I don't want
to
die!
I said...
Back to your seat! Father, why have it? Oh, they're taking over the plane!
Listen, Sly, I can't get anybody... Get everybody up here for an emergency meeting right now.
Now!
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus! They're taking over the plane!
The hijacker sees the phone is still connected. Cutter kicks him, forces him to drop the gun, then sticks the man's head down the toilet. Cutter snatches the gun and forces the man against the wall.
How many?
Rain holds Marty at gunpoint.
I freeze!
Drop the fucking gun or your friend dies.
I have no friends.
His name's John Cutter. He's airline security.
Mr. Cutter, I'm sure your superiors would not like you to do anything rash and risk the lives of all these wonderful people.
Stand up! Move!
A man stands up. Rain lets Marty go and grabs the man. Sabrina holds Marty.
Airline personnel assume a certain risk. It's part of the job. These passengers are so innocent.
What do you want?
Oh, I have what I want. I have control of the plane and everything on it. Must I prove that to you? Sir, tell Mr. Cutter your name.
Douglas.
Cutter, meet Douglas.
Let him go.
Do you have any children, Douglas?
A daughter.
A family man. He has a daughter who loves him. And she, until your interference, had a father.
Douglas drops to the floor. Rain grabs a woman passenger.
No. Drop the fucking gun!
Cutter looks round desperately, then lets his gun fall to the floor. He ducks quickly, leaving his captive standing.
I loathe incompetence.
Rain shoots the hijacker. Marty wrestles with Sabrina and breaks free. Marty and Cutter flee into the crew area and get into the service lift. Rain grabs the intercom phone. Is waiting at the bottom when the lift door opens.
Who are you? What are you doing?
Wait, Cutter, wait. It's okay. There's always somebody down here in the galley.
Hey, look, buddy. I just get paid to send food upstairs, all right? Give me a break.
All right. Frank. Look, we got a hijack situation upstairs, okay? I need your help. Anything that you can do.
Well, look, I'm not risking my life. If you guys want to fight terrorists, you're on your own.
Look, give me a knife or a screwdriver or something, okay?
Cutter examines a wall. Behind him, Vincent takes a knife from his trouser leg.
I think we should do exactly what Mr. Rain wants.
Cutter and Marty look round. Vincent attacks. Cutter karate kicks Vincent in the head, but Vincent maintains his balance. Vincent thrusts the knife forward, but Cutter grabs his arm and breaks the knife out of his hand. Cutter elbows Vincent in the back of the head.
Come on!
Cutter kicks Vincent in the groin and smacks him to the wall. Cutter kicks Vincent through the partition wall and into the hold.
See if you can find something to tie him up with. Look in the bag.
On the ground.
Davis, notify the feds and alert Ritter. I don't want that plane out of our sight. Mary, let me know the minute you make contact with the pilot.
Notify ATC, bring them up to speed on our situation. And I want a complete list of everybody on that plane. I want it 5 minutes ago.
Now get to work.
Sly smooths back his hair and sighs. Back on board the plane, Forget drags Douglas's body along the aisle. Another hijacker, Matthew, a young man with short black hair and glasses, stands reading a magazine, gun poised. Down in the hold, Marty and Cutter tie up Vincent.
So what's the plan?
Make it to the avionics compartment. Once there, I can override the controls and bring the plane down.
What? This is a jumbo jet!
Yeah, I know. We don't have any choice.
Cutter walks into the avionics compartment.
Look, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it you who said to do exactly as the terrorist tells you to do?
He's not just a terrorist.
Well, how are you going to bring the plane down?
I'm going to empty the fuel.
He fiddles with a circuit board.
Are you out of your mind, Cutter? We could all crash.
Exactly.
No, I'm not letting you do
Come
this.
On.
It's too dangerous.
Hands
you
up.
Are starting a fire.
God damn it, Lisa, I don't have time for this shit. Now look, that man upstairs is one of the most dangerous terrorists in the world. He has killed two people. He will kill everybody else on this fucking plane if I don't figure out a way to bring him down. I need your help. Please.
Tell me you're good at this.
I'm the best.
Then do it.
Cutter pulls a wire from its socket. The plane banks and loses height. At the airline center...
Charles Rain, a sophisticated British aristocrat known internationally as the Reign of Terror. Been linked to several bombings in London and Northern Ireland, but because of his close ties to the Middle East, he's been untouchable.
Right. Judging from the fact that he killed his father, he was a pretty sick little kid, too. Well,
trust me, what his old man did to him and his sister didn't exactly qualify him for Father of the Year honors.
Hey, Del Vecchio, you let the feds put a goddamn terrorist on one of my planes?
Hey, they didn't notify me either. Here's his file.
What
They can do that?
The FBI just shows up at the last minute. They take whatever seats they need. They don't have to tell us anything. They're the FBI.
Jesus Christ. You think they put an airline hijacker on a bus or a train?
Any word on why they were taken into Los Angeles?
He was supposed to stand trial for the Trans-Pacific bombing last year. I guess he had different plans.
Yeah? We're going to have to change him again.
Why is that?
Cutter's on that plane.
The plane judders. The passengers clutch each other in fear. The bodies of the dead FBI agents fall forward in their chairs. Rain staggers down the aisle to the cockpit.
What's the problem?
We're losing fuel. One way or the other, we're going down.
You better make preparations to land.
Cutter helps Marty back into the hold.
Why are we going back there?
Because it's easy to jump off the plane from the rear.
What?
It's easy to jump off the plane from the rear.
The plane banks steeply over the water. At the airline center...
The plane's losing a lot of altitude. I think they're preparing to land.
Well, where is it?
Right outside Lake Lucille, Louisiana. And near a small airfield there. It may not be large enough, but it may be their only choice.
How fast can we get a chopper out there?
A chopper? Why?
I want you there as quickly as possible.
What do you mean on a helicopter?
I don't want the FBI or some country local talking to the press about something affecting this airline. Get out there and keep me informed.
Right.
A red helicopter comes in to land outside the airline building. Sly goes out onto the terrace to meet it. On the plane.
Tower, Atlantic International, flight 163. We're declaring an emergency.
Request immediate authorization to land. Over.
Negative 163. We're not a commercial airport.
Suggest you reroute.
Suggestion refused.
Repeat 163. We're not equipped to handle an aircraft your size. It's too dangerous for you to try to...
Shut up and listen. It's too dangerous for you. See that the runway is cleared.
Nor call Atlantic International. See what the hell is going on and call the hospital too, just in case.
In the lower galley on the plane, Marty puts her stewardess jacket back on. She joins Cutter by the exit door. He feels the side of his face gingerly.
Who's Lisa?
What?
Lisa. You call me Lisa in the avionics compartment.
She was my wife.
Was?
She was with me when I tried to stop a robbery. I lived.
I'm sorry.
Cutter looks over at the intercom phone. He glances at Marty, then goes to answer it.
Plan not working out the way you want it, asshole.
Don't flatter yourself, Cutter. You prevented nothing. Although it seems I may have underestimated you.
Dumping the fuel was quite ingenious. At least Mr. Douglas's body won't have so far to fall now.
Well, maybe Vincent could hitch a ride with him on his way down. You know, Charlie, I'm a little surprised at you. Didn't your father ever teach you never send a boy to do a man's job?
Speaking of boys, our stewardess friend must be feeling particularly unsatisfied.
Charlie, you ever play roulette?
On occasion.
Well, let me give you a word of advice.
Always bet on black.
Cutter puts the phone down. In the helicopter.
Mr. Delvecchio, are you okay?
Yeah, could you please close the door?
The door is closed, sir. Would you like us to fly higher? It might be a little smoother up there.
No. This is fine.
Back on the plane, Forget drops down into the avionics compartment carrying a gun. Cutter and Marty are still in the lower galley.
You better buckle in. The landing's gonna be rough.
Cutter hears the sound and moves over to where Vincent is tied up in the hold.
Hey man, let me give you a hand.
Cutter walks away from the unconscious Vincent. Further up the hold, Forget stands gun poised. The plane flies low over a fairground. Chief Biggs, a burly middle-aged policeman, watches with two state troopers as the plane soars over the rides and Ferris wheels.
Biggest damn Cessna I ever saw.
All right, Otto, get somebody out to the runway. I'm going to be up in the tower. Patrick, let's do something.
Patrick takes Big's ice cream. The plane comes in to land.
Please fasten your seatbelts. Brace yourselves for a short field landing. Flight attendants, please take your positions for an emergency landing.
Sabrina is seated, but Rain remains standing, holding his gun. He grabs onto the bulkhead for support. The plane drops down onto the tiny runway. The flight crew apply the brakes. In the lower galley, Cutter pulls the lock lever and opens the exit door. His face is buffeted by the wind. Forge moves stealthily through the hold. Marty joins Cutter by the exit door.
All right, listen up. The tower's gonna need as much assistance as they can get. You communicate with the airline staff. I'll coordinate rescue activities on the ground.
Right, and how do we get down there?
We step out. Family, you do the rest.
Unseen, Forge moves through the hold door.
As soon as it stops, we jump.
Marty looks round. Forge knocks Marty back and kicks Cutter out the door. Cutter clings on with his fingers. Marty knocks Forge's gun away with a fire extinguisher. But Forge grabs Marty and kicks Cutter out onto the runway. Cutter rolls out of the way of the plane wheels. Forge closes the exit door. Cutter collapses in a heap on the runway. In the helicopter...
Mr. Delvecchio, I've got Mr. Ramsey on the line.
Oh. Well, I guess we can't tell him I stepped out now, can we? Put it through.
Delvecchio.
Yeah?
I just had an idea about how to use Cutter.
Use?
If this works out, you're instructed to tell the press that we had a security agent on the plane as part of our anti-terrorist plan. If it doesn't work out, don't tell them anything about Cutter. I'll handle that. You understand? Do you understand?
Yep. Yes, sir.
The plane comes to a standstill on the runway. Rain slaps Marty.
I had such wonderful plans for us. If she disobeys, kill her.
Let me go.
Forge leads Marty away, followed by Vincent. Two troopers pull up beside Cutter and pull their guns on him.
On the ground, face down, do it now!
I'm security for the allies.
Yeah, and I'm the governor of Louisiana. Now get your ass on the ground, do it!
Already on the ground, asshole.
They cuff Cutter and haul him up off the floor.
Look, you're making a mistake. My name is John Cutter. I'm security for the airlines. The plane is being hijacked.
Come on.
They drag him over to the car.
Get the door open. Damn it!
People on the plane! The hostages on the plane!
In the flight control tower...
This is Chief Leonard Biggs, Lake Lucille Police Department. Now, if you tell me what you want, I'll tell you what I can deliver.
I want this plane fully fueled.
If I do not see a fuel truck in position and functioning in the next 5 minutes, you will be responsible for a great many deaths.
Well, I'm not fully authorized to grant any demands at this time.
I suggest you look out your window toward the plane just in front of the landing gear.
Biggs looks through his binoculars. The hijackers dump the pilot's body out the exit door.
I've just executed 5 passengers. I will execute 5 more every 3 minutes until you find me someone who is authorized to meet my demands.
Look, I want to help. But how do I know you won't kill the rest of those passengers once I get you what you want?
Get the truck near the plane. As soon as the fuel begins to flow, I will release half the passengers. You will be responsible for saving 100 lives all by yourself.
Look, I'll make some calls.
While you're on the phone, I'll be killing another group of passengers. Let me know when I should stop.
Now, wait.
Do we have an agreement?
Fuel's on its way.
Check and mate.
Chief, shouldn't we wait for the FBI?
Hell no. I'm in charge of they get here. You heard that man, didn't you? I just saved 100 lives. But them damn federal boys, can they do better than that, huh?
At the airline center, Ramsey's assistant brings him a fax.
Mr. Ramsey?
Yeah.
Just got this on Rain. You're not gonna like it.
No?
2 years ago, Interpol thought they had him. Remember the bombings in London, the 3 train stations? Rain did it. He killed over 60 people.
Just to create a distraction.
Distraction?
This guy's got a habit of blowing things up just to cover his escape. We got over 200 passengers on that plane.
What do you think he wants?
Obvious, isn't it? I mean, the guy is facing the chair. He's going to do whatever it takes to escape. I wouldn't be surprised if the son of a bitch blew up the plane and then just disappeared in the flames.
The aviation fuel truck pulls up on the runway next to the plane. Two men put the bodies of the dead passengers in an ambulance. Police guide the exit stairs over to the side of the plane. Meanwhile, two troopers drag Cutter up to Biggs in the control tower.
Would you get him? He's drunk.
There's four of them on the
plane.
Shut
up. Chief, look, we caught him out by the plane. He tried to attack us.
If I tried to attack you, I wouldn't be the one standing here bleeding.
You mind telling me what it was you were doing out there in that airfield?
My name is John Cutter. I'm the head of security for Atlantic International. I was a passenger on the plane before it was hijacked.
Head of security? Ain't that a pickle? You don't mind me saying so, Mr. Cutter, you ain't done too good a job.
What is that fuel tank doing out there?
I've negotiated the release of 100 passengers.
No! Look, Chief, you can't trust him! Look, the passengers are more valuable to him on the plane. There's no reason he let him off.
He needs fuel.
Yes, but he wouldn't trade the hostages.
Don't you worry your ass about what he needs.
Chief, he wants to talk to you again.
Biggs picks up the headset.
Yeah, this is Chief Biggs. The fuel's on its way just like I promised.
And I, in turn, shall fulfill my end of the bargain.
Chief, one of my men betrayed me and escaped from the plane.
Is that a fact?
Yes, a black man, very smooth and convincing.
I would prefer to deal with him directly for his cowardice, but should you find it necessary to inflict harm upon him, I will not hold you liable.
Biggs puts down the headset and turns his gun on Cutter.
The man in the plane says you want to hiss.
Yeah, well, I know motherfuckers who say they saw Elvis in a goddamn mall. You gonna believe that shit too? Look, he's a murderer!
Let me see some identification, Mr. Cutter.
The trooper passes Biggs Cutter's wallet.
Doesn't say anything about you being head of security, says you're some kind of instructor.
Look, I'm the former head of security for Atlantic International.
Put yourself in my place, Mr. Cutter. What would you do if you were me?
Kill myself.
On the plane, Rain takes Sabrina to one side.
Wait for 1 hour before resuming the flight. That'll give me sufficient time to escape. Once the plane is back in the air, proceed with the original plan.
Let me go with you.
I need you to stay on board and carry out my instructions.
What if they don't give us clearance?
Start killing passengers until they do.
Rain walks away down the aisle. The exit door opens, and Sabrina stands guard as passengers bail out of the plane down the stairs. Norman and his mother are among them. In the control tower, Biggs watches through his binoculars. On the plane, Rain goes into the service lift. Vincent is now wearing a tan jacket and shirt. In the lift, Rain slips his revolver into his jacket. Forge moves the passengers along.
Come on, move it! Get going, don't stop! Come on! Hey!
Forge shoots a man who tries to push through. The passengers scramble over each other.
What the hell is wrong with those people? They're gonna trample each other to death.
In the confusion, Rain, Vincent, and Matthew drop out the bottom of the plane. They walk away in the opposite direction to the passengers. Back in the control tower.
Damn it, Chief, it's a trick! Look, you gotta listen to me.
Boy, I've had just about all the advice from you I'm gonna take. Haul his ass downstairs. And if he gets cute, shoot him. In the leg, he might be telling the truth.
The troopers march Cutter away.
Nora, do me a favor, honey. Fix me up a cup of that special coffee of yours. Maybe a couple of Bufferin.
Damn it! You're making a mistake!
Shut up, boy! You ain't said shit I want to hear. Let's go.
Cutter flips his arm back and punches the trooper. Then he locks the other trooper's arm and pushes him down the stairs. The first trooper recovers, but Cutter punches him in the stomach and slams him against the wall. The cop tries to grab Cutter's foot, but Cutter kicks him away and escapes outside. Cutter jumps over a fence and runs into another cop. Cutter fells him with a roundhouse kick. Then he jumps on the lawman's motorbike and races through the passengers, forcing one man to jump aside. Cutter zooms towards the plane. He rides right underneath it, pursued by police cars, then crashes through a wire fence. In the control tower...
Chief,
prisoner got away.
No shit, Earl. All right, call for backup. I want somebody from every sheriff's department within 50 miles.
He's headed toward the fairground. You want us to head out there?
Well, why is that, Luther? So you can get some more practice whooping your dumb ass? All right, take some extra men with you and keep your damn guns in your holsters. Unless that boy leaves you no other choice. Go!
At the fairground, Rain and Vincent keep watch as Matthew tries to break into a car.
Come on!
They see Cutter ride into the car park. Vincent pulls his gun.
That won't be necessary, Vincent. I'll take care of Mr. Cutter. Secure transportation. Meet us at the other side of the fairground in 10 minutes.
The three men split up. Two police cars roar into the fairground. Cutter abandons the bike and sets off through the crowds. In the control tower, three men in suits come up to Biggs. Leading them is a black man in his 50s.
Chief Biggs, Dwight Henderson, FBI.
Leonard Biggs, Lake Lucille Police.
I'm going to need a concise report on the status of this operation, Chief.
Yeah, well, just make yourself comfortable. Because that airplane and my blood pressure ain't going to damn bit higher than it is right now.
In the fairground, people are enjoying the Ferris wheels and chair swingers. Cutter moves through the crowd. He goes to a kiosk, throws some change on the counter, and grabs a bucket of popcorn. Cutter weaves through the people going from one stall to another. He walks past Matthew, who follows him at a distance. Cutter walks past the beer tents. Matthew casually threads his way through the crowds, staying on Cutter's tail. Cutter walks past a hot dog stand and some picnic tables. He looks round desperately for some sign of the hijackers. Suddenly, he spots Rain at one of the stalls. Cutter moves off after him, but Matthew is still on Cutter's tail. Cutter starts to run, pushing people out of the way. Rain turns and spots Cutter pursuing him. Cutter loses Rain in the crowd. He looks round wildly and spots Rain going towards the stock show. Cutter races after him, shoving people out of the way. Back at the airport control tower, Henderson mans the radio.
Flight 163, do you read me?
Flight 163, come in, please. Flight 163, do you read me?
You might as well just save your breath. They ain't gonna answer you. They get darn good and ready. All we can do is sit here and wait till we hear from them. Our men in the field. Just hope that Cutter fellow was telling the truth.
Cutter?
Yeah.
John Cutter?
Yeah, you know
him. What happened to him?
Well, he said he was on that plane. Beat up a couple of my men, headed out towards the fairgrounds. Don't worry, we'll catch him.
Yeah, well, I hope you got a good early retirement plan. Take Dean, Peel, and Christopher. Get over to the fairgrounds. Chief, you better see to it your men don't harm Cutter. Because if he's hurt, I'll press charges against you myself.
Henderson storms out. At the fairground, Rain makes his way into the stock show tent. Cutter comes in and looks around, followed by Matthew. Cutter moves past the livestock pens. In the center of the tent, some children are dancing in a fenced-off area. Cutter moves past the clapping crowds. He spots Rain standing by a little girl and helping himself to her popcorn. The two men glare at each other. Matthew draws his gun. The shot hits a man in a clown outfit who falls to the ground. The crowd panic. Cutter dives to the side of the tent and bolts outside. One man grabs Rain's gun hand, but is swiftly smashed to the floor. The two hijackers chase after Cutter. Cutter grabs hold of a car on the Ferris wheel and is lifted skywards. Rain shoots at Cutter. The man operating the Ferris wheel runs for his life. Matthew goes to the controls. Rain looks over at him.
Move!
Matthew starts climbing the maintenance ladder to Cutter's car. Rain runs to the other side and levels his gun at Cutter's position. But when Matthew reaches the top, Cutter is gone. Then, in the girders above,
hey!
Cutter kicks him off. Rain runs to the other side. Cutter slides down the metalwork, but Rain is waiting. Cutter drops to the ground. Rain runs, but Cutter leaps away from the base of the wheel and into the panicking crowds. He runs across the fairground, but there's a line of police cars at the entrance. Cutter leaps onto a carousel. Rain also jumps on board and walks back through the rising and falling horses. Cutter flees, hiding behind a yellow seat. Rain spots Cutter and takes aim. The shot hits the seat and Cutter runs. One of the horse's heads is blown away. Cutter keeps running. Rain jumps off the moving platform and reloads his gun. The carousel moves round and Cutter finds himself zooming towards Rain. He leaps on Rain and they fight for control of the gun. Cutter knocks the gun to the ground, but two cops jump him.
FBI, Rain! You're under arrest!
Let him go! Let him go!
The cops release Cutter while Rain is handcuffed on the ground.
Look, there's another one. He's 5'10", he's got a tan jacket and blue navy pants. Check him out.
An ambulance pulls up, and two medics run over to the scene. Vincent appears. He looks over at the third medic standing by the ambulance. Meanwhile, Sly's helicopter comes into land at the airport. An armada of police cars races past the helicopter. Sly gets out and runs across the tarmac to the control tower. Biggs and Henderson move through the crowds outside the tower and come forward to meet Cutter and the other cops.
Watch yourself, watch your hands!
Get him out!
Cutter. Dwight Henderson, FBI. Heard a great deal about you.
Pleasure's mutual.
You all right, man?
Yeah, I'm fine.
John,
what the hell is wrong with you, huh? That's your idea of a surprise? You fucking put me on a plane with a goddamn terrorist?
Relax, nobody knew. The FBI didn't notify
him. Hold it.
Rain is brought before Henderson.
Those two agents you murdered on the plane were friends of mine.
Thank you for telling me. I do enjoy knowing the people whose lives I've touched.
I've got enough of this. And you're gonna fucking help us, or I'm gonna rip your goddamn throat out.
Now, come on, now.
While you're considering organ donations, it might be wise if you were to spare some thought for the remaining passengers on board. If I'm not released, you will be clearing up their remains for quite some time.
What are you talking about, asshole?
My colleagues have instructions to start killing passengers in 20 minutes.
Get this piece of shit inside.
Rain smiles as he is led away. In the terminal...
I'll station some of my men behind the plane with tear gas and masks. Two agents will escort Rain up the boarding stairs.
You mean y'all just gonna let him get back on that airplane?
That's what we're gonna tell him.
How are your sharpshooters?
I got two of the best.
They're not gonna get a second chance.
They won't need it.
Sharpshooters? What about Rain's people that are still on the airplane, huh? Now, what about them?
Look, just be patient, okay?
Look, I'm the only one who knows who they are. I can be wired up. I can signal to Henderson's men when it's safe to shoot who's ever at the door. We take out Rain first, okay? Then will that still give you time to use the tear gas?
My men will start up the stairs as soon as the first shots are fired. We'll already have the door secured.
Oh, I don't know. This sounds too crazy, John. There's too much that can go wrong.
God damn it, Sly! Listen. I saw him take a passenger on that plane. He asked him about his family. Then he blew his brains out all over the goddamn floor. Look, the longer we wait, the more people are going to be sacrificed.
Fine.
All right. I'll go tell Rain. I'll make it look like he negotiated it.
No. Let me tell him. Alone.
Henderson glances at Biggs, then nods his head.
Sure.
Sly sighs and shakes his head.
John, you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Outside, Vincent pulls up in the ambulance. He's wearing a medic's uniform and carrying a large metal case. He crosses to the airport terminal. He walks through the troopers and the crowd and goes in the front door. Upstairs, Cutter goes into the room where Rain is being guarded by two agents. He motions for the agents to leave. They walk out, and Cutter shuts the door behind them.
Mr. Cutter, how kind of you to pay me a visit. You've been a worthy adversary. It's a shame we won't be seeing much more of each other.
Let me tell you something. If anybody else gets hurt on that plane, it's gonna take a hell of a lot more than a prison cell to keep me from ripping your fucking nuts off.
I'd come to expect more from you than cheap vulgarities. You and I both know I will never see the inside of a prison. The notion of good over evil will not allow you to sit idly by and watch the needless death of your fellow citizens.
Well, you know, Rain, you got a good point. Maybe I should just kill you right here, then, huh?
You wouldn't take advantage of a helpless man, would you?
It's never stopped you.
That's the American way, isn't it, brother? You should know. You're used to being taken advantage of.
I want him off the plane, Rain.
We share the same hunger. We're both killers. I know the breed, Cutter.
Cutter shoves him against the wall.
Now I'm sick of your shit!
You need the passengers. I want the plane. Put me back on board and the passengers will be released.
Yeah, right. I'm supposed to trust you.
Trust your instincts.
My instincts are to wax your ass all over this floor.
Those are your emotions acting without the benefit of intellect. Now, the passengers' lives are in your hands. Don't fail them.
Cutter grabs him by the shoulders.
Sit.
He dumps Rain back down on the seat. Cutter picks up his jacket and crosses to the door. On the plane, Sabrina gulps down some water. Forget walks down the aisle past Mrs. Edwards.
Why are you keeping us here? What do you want? For God's sake, let us go.
It's all right. It's all right. Don't give them a reason to hurt you. That's exactly what they want. Just try and remain calm. There we go. Everything's gonna be all right.
Marty gives Mrs. Edwards a hot towel. Forget walks away.
Flight 163, this is Daddy. I will be rejoining you very shortly. If I'm not safely on board within 5 minutes, you are to continue as previously instructed.
In the control tower...
Gentlemen, I'm ready to leave your lovely little town.
Outside, a cordon of police cars and armed troopers surround the plane. Fire engines and ambulances wait in the distance. Rain gets out of a police car and is led across the tarmac. Two agents stand either side of Rain and march him towards the plane, his hands still cuffed behind his back. Cutter and Henderson watch from one of the police cars. Cutter picks up his radio.
All right, this is Cutter. Everybody in position.
Loud and clear, Mr. Cutter. Target is well within range, awaiting your command.
That's a 10-4. Nobody does anything until I say go.
The police snipers aim their rifles from the top of the airport terminal. Rain and the two agents approach the stairs leading up to the plane. Waiting underneath the stairs are two men wearing gas masks and carrying rifles. The agents lead Rain up to the aircraft. Cutter watches through his binoculars.
All right, all units, stand by.
Rain reaches the top of the stairs, and the agents remove his handcuffs. The plane door opens, and Forget stands in the entrance. Cutter sees him.
Now, take him!
But the sniper is Vincent in disguise. He trains his sights on the agents and shoots. Rain runs into the aircraft, Forget covering him. Henderson fires at Vincent. Vincent takes aim and shoots Henderson in the arm. Cutter opens the back door of the car to shield him and Henderson. Vincent fires a volley of shots, then runs, back on the ground.
How is it?
It's okay.
Okay, good.
It's all right.
The cops give covering fire as the truck carrying the entry stairs is driven away. But Forget blasts the truck with his machine gun and it explodes. Rain runs into the plane's cockpit.
Get this plane off the ground.
The plane starts to move along the runway. Troopers lift their fallen comrades out of the way of its wheels. On the terminal roof, Vincent climbs down a fire escape and fires at the cops below.
All right, move around!
Cutter runs through the police and takes cover behind an ambulance. Vincent makes for some stairs leading upwards. Cutter rolls along the floor and takes aim. He hits Vincent square in the chest. Vincent tumbles down the stairs and hits the ground lifeless.
Big! Try! Where? Follow the fucking plane!
Cutter and Sly jump into a police car. Biggs gets in the driving seat and they race off across the tarmac. A fire engine sets off behind them. On the plane...
I hope you enjoyed your stopover. We will now continue with the remainder of the flight.
If you don't want to wear your seatbelts, you don't have to.
In the police car...
What the hell are we gonna do when we catch it?
You're gonna watch me sneak on the plane without a ticket.
What? I knew you were crazy in a June bug the minute I laid eyes on your ass.
Look, Chief, I thought all you ham-hocking, country biscuit-eating boys knew how to drive. Was that a bunch of bullshit or what?
I ain't had a challenge like that since I was in high school.
Chief, I didn't know you went to high school. Sly, this better be covered by the health insurance.
Yeah, it's under the section of mental illness.
The car catches up with the plane.
Get me close to the landing gear!
Biggs moves the car closer to the plane's wheels.
I need a gun!
You need your head examined what you need!
I want this back in good condition! Bob's my wife!
Hey, John, you bring your ass back alive, you hear me?
You missed the opportunity to get back at you? No way! Let's do it!
Cutter hauls himself half out the window.
Hey, John! Oh! John!
Cutter squats on the car door and reaches for the plane's wheel struts, but the car veers to the left.
Oh, I got a bad feeling about this one.
Cutter grabs the wheel strut.
Oh, man! Oh!
Cutter makes it, and the police car turns away. But the gun drops from Cutter's belt. The plane lifts into the air. In the control tower...
Approach control is Lake Lucille. We have a hijacked aircraft.
I want every radar station in the southeast following that plane.
We're on it already. You read me, approach control.
The plane is flying through the evening light. Rain comes into the passenger cabin.
Mr. Bourget, it's time to make the proper arrangements.
They go into the crew area where Marty is working. Bourget goes into the service lift. Rain licks his fingers and strokes his gun as he goes over to Marty.
Your friend Mr. Cutter has left you in a rather precarious position. Pour me a drink, Marty.
He licks his finger again.
What do you want?
Anything wet.
She rolls her eyes and picks up a bottle. She moves away, but Rain stops her.
Did you enjoy yourself down there in the lower galley? You and your friend in that tight little place. Tell me, Marty, did the hero get into your tight little place?
You repulse.
He thrusts her back against the wall.
You'll change your mind once we get to know each other.
You'll have to kill me first.
No, Marty. I'm going to kill you in Turing.
She turns her face away in disgust. Rain walks away. Down below, Cutter opens the hatch into the avionics compartment. He sees Bourget in the hold and moves forward stealthily. Bourget dumps a rucksack on the floor and rifles through it. Cutter creeps up behind him. Cutter kicks away Forget's gun, then boots him in the chest. Bourget smashes a crate over Cutter's head. Cutter kicks him back, but Bourget swings at him with his fists. Cutter retreats backwards, and Bourget hits the luggage racks. Cutter smacks him with a metal case. Bourget falls back against a set of golf clubs. He takes one and swings it at Cutter. Cutter grabs Bourget's arm and swings him over onto the floor. Now Cutter holds the club. Cutter prods the club in Bourget's stomach. Then he whacks Bourget in the head and groin. Bourget falls on the floor. Cutter pushes forward a metal cabinet, crushing Bourget against the wall. Upstairs, Sabrina comes up to Rain.
It's almost time. What the hell is taking Forger so long?
Maybe he's having difficulty finding the trunk.
Idiot.
Down below, Cutter cuts through some cord with his knife and puts some equipment in his pocket. Then, he takes his knife and walks through into the avionics compartment. He busts his way through the floor into the cockpit of the plane.
Who are you? Cutter. John, Cutter. No, just chill out. I'm the good guy. Where are they?
Somewhere in the back.
All right. Can you turn this plane around and land at the airfield we just left?
Hey, I did it once.
All right, do it again.
You got it.
Cutter leaves the cockpit.
Center Atlantic International 163, with you?
The plane banks to the right. In the cabin, Rain registers the change in direction and looks out the window. He goes over to Sabrina.
Something's wrong. Check the flight crew.
Sabrina makes her way down the aisle. Marty looks round from her seat. In the cockpit.
Why have you turned this plane?
We were told to head back.
By whom?
By me.
Cutter punches Sabrina and lays her gently on the ground.
What a waste.
All right, keep that on her. If she moves, throw out the window.
Hey, you need help?
No, there's only one left, and he's all mine.
In the cabin, Rain turns and walks down the aisle. He grabs Marty and takes her into the crew area. He holds his gun on the service lift.
Open it.
Marty opens the lift door to find Forger's beaten and bloody body. Rain knocks Marty out, but Cutter is behind him. They wrestle for possession of Rain's gun. The shot blows out a window. Rain drops the gun, but he kicks Cutter back against the wall. Oxygen masks drop down in front of the passengers. Marty comes too. Cutter and Rain now fight in the aisle between passengers. Cutter kicks Rain across the empty seats. But Rain recovers and throws Cutter down. The hull of the plane starts to buckle as the pressure changes. Rain tries to throttle Cutter with the cord on an oxygen mask. Marty desperately tries to reach the gun dropped by Rain, but the cabin is shaking violently. Rain drags Cutter along by the oxygen cord around his neck. Suddenly, the exit door blows outwards. Debris is sucked through the opening. Marty clings on for dear life. Rain continues to throttle Cutter, but Cutter manages to get on his feet and push Rain back with a series of body blows. Cutter punches Rain in the groin, but Rain maintains an iron grip. Cutter headbutts Rain, who falls back into a seat. But Rain lashes out and kicks Cutter back down the aisle. Marty still clings on. Rain tries to make his way down the aisle to Cutter, finally charging into him. They wrestle near the open door. Cutter forces his hand over Rain's face. Rain is forced back so that he's clinging onto the doorframe. Cutter kicks him in the groin, then lashes out at Rain's face. Rain falls back out of the plane and plunges to the earth. Cutter smiles, and Marty breathes a sigh of relief. In the control tower...
Control tower, this is John Cutter, flight 163.
Do you read me?
Loud and clear, John. What's your status?
Single, at the moment. I am working on it.
Cutter, this is Henderson. Have you disabled Rain yet?
You damn Skippy.
All right, Cutter boy! All right.
Oh, hey, Biggs.
How you doing? Is this you?
In the flesh.
That's a revolting thought.
On the plane, Mrs. Edwards leads the cheering. Marty joins in. The plane comes in to land at the airport, its landing lights blazing through the dark. Reporters run through the line of policemen and firemen on the tarmac. The entry stairs are brought up to the plane and the outer door opens. The passengers hurry out. Henderson and Sly climb out of their car and cross to the plane. Sly goes over to one of the flight crew.
Hey there. Have you seen John Cutter?
Yeah, the last time I saw him, he was with one of the flight attendants.
Okay, thanks.
Sly spots Cutter walking away with Marty.
John! John!
Hey, tell Ramsey I'm taking a vacation.
Done.
I want a raise.
Done.
You ready to get out of here?
Where you want to go?
Any place but here.
They walk away.
What about these reporters? Hey, John, what am I supposed to do about these reporters? Hey, John, this isn't my bag.
Sly laughs and waves his hand in exasperation. Henderson leads Sabrina to the police car, and an agent shoves her in the back seat. Sly stands in front of the reporters.
Are you a representative from the airline?
That's right. And I'm pleased to report that our special anti-terrorist program, which was enacted under my supervision, was an extraordinary success.
What's your name?
Sly Delvecchio.
Biggs drives up to Cutter and Marty.
Y'all riding or walking?
Walk.
5 miles to town.
No thanks.
Cutter, you didn't happen to see my wife's gun, did you? Good night, Cutter.
Good night, Biggs.
Cutter and Marty walk towards the fairground as fireworks light up the sky. Audio description by ITFC.